Welcome everyone to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. I'm your host, Munaf Manji, back in the saddle for another edition of the MLB podcast. Getting ready for some new series kicking off this weekend in MLB. We'll get to those games at least for the Friday schedule. But joining me here to help me break all the betting lines down in the MLB and talk some more baseball, got my guy here with me. It's Griffin Warner. Griffin, how's it going, my man? How are you doing this Thursday evening?
I'm doing well. Had a very up and down week for baseball so far, but I think more ups than downs. Trying to figure out some themes to my losses. I feel like it's teams not scoring. That was not good. Got shut out twice, including by Tanner Houck this week. And then, unfortunately, our best bets both had 3-0 leads and weren't able to hold on.
Yeah, apparently 3-0 leads are not good enough for the MLB season, at least for the early part. And, you know, we were coming off of a 0-2 episode, and then we went 2-0, and then unfortunately went 0-2. But again, like you mentioned, both of our teams did have a 3-0 lead there and just absolutely blew it for us. But, and again, like we mentioned, that's kind of the ebbs and flows of not only baseball betting, but also sports betting in general. So, you know, we'll bounce back here like we always do on the Friday night card in the MLB. Do have lines for most games. We'll get to the games that we don't officially have lines for. We do see some open lines for. We'll mention those, but of course, we'll break down every single game that's happening on the Friday schedule. Griffin, before we get into the games here for the Friday night card, anything that's kind of stuck out to you, maybe you want to get off your chest before we dive into the games?
Defense has been a problem. I think we've seen some teams that are just completely incapable. Some that are better than incapable, but have incapable moments. I don't know necessarily that I feel like that's something that can get fixed. Heard Alex Cora, specifically for the Red Sox manager, saying that he's having to basically teach the game to players that have just tried to play showcase games, hit the ball as far as they could, run as fast as they can. So it's interesting to hear that. And I think that's probably one of those things with young teams, but some teams have those problems and others don't, despite similar age teams in general. So I don't really know if there's a way to work in handicap defense into your game, because most of the time I'm looking at lineups, bullpens, and starting pitchers. Just another variable out there. But after seeing Gio Urshela fall down when he had a Texas Rangers runner in a rundown today in the top of the eighth inning and basically lose the game off of that run because he tripped, missed the tag, it's just one of those things you got to get ready for. Maybe just expect the worst until the game is officially over.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Javi Baez where he was running down first base line, runs back to home plate, runs back to first base, and was just able to escape the tag. And I thought that was one of the more funnier things that we've seen in baseball. Of course, it had to do with Javi Baez. You're right. You can handicap defense into the NBA, NHL, NFL, like every other sport, except for maybe baseball. But, you know, again, that, like I mentioned, just comes with the ebbs and flows of the baseball season. But, hey, we're doing pretty well, man. I can't complain here. So we're going to continue rolling it here in the Friday card here. And we'll kick it off here on the Friday schedule with an early start, as we usually get at Wrigley Field. This is going to be a doubleheader because the game on Thursday night was postponed. But the 2:21 Eastern matchup is going to be the Miami Marlins in Wrigley Field to take on the Cubbies. AJ Puck, I feel like we talk about him every single podcast, at least once a week that we do, or the once a pod that we do twice a week here. But he will be the starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins. It'll be Jameson Taillon for the Chicago Cubbies. Cubbies are a -162 home favorite with a total of 9.5. Griffin, what do you think about this game between the Marlins and the Cubs?
Kind of feels like a big total, but most of them are dependent upon weather at Wrigley Field and really the wind direction. It's kind of amazing. It seems like pop flies to right center and left center field just are home runs all the time. Down the line, it's hard to do. To center, hard to do. But that's, I guess, part of the game and something you need to be prepared for. Totals range from, I want to say, 6.5 is probably the lowest I've seen it at Wrigley, all the way up to 14.5, because I know I've bet an under on 14.5 and lost. It's like crazy to me, but that's how the wind goes, and they do call it the Windy City for some reason. I think is this Tyone's debut this season? Because I haven't seen his name much.
I believe so.
AJ Puck is debuting as a starter this year, and I think he was wishing it was his season debut because he's had a really bad start. But somehow he's kept his rotation spot while they sent Max Meyer down, who's clearly been a better pitcher. But I'm sure they're trying to manage his innings slash whatever they're doing to try to keep him in the organization as long as possible. I think Miami, knowing they're off to a pretty bad start, not as likely to compete this season. The Cubs, I thought, played pretty well in Arizona, I gotta say. Feel like the Cubs have gotten a fair amount of respect to start the year. Didn't get a lot of it in Arizona nor in Seattle on that West Coast trip. So I think they're in a good position to come back home, probably have a good chance to get a lopsided series victory. And I don't really see a reason to really back Miami here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. AJ Puck has just, again, like you mentioned, not been very good thus far this season. The walks have been the problem with AJ Puck, right? He's allowed 14 walks in just 10 and two-thirds innings pitched in the three games that he started this season, and the Marlins have lost all three of those games. And the one thing that really sticks out to me about this Cubs team is that they are one of the best teams against left-handed pitching thus far this season. They're in that conversation with the Astros. The Arizona Diamondbacks have been very good against left-handed pitching. The Cubs right now sitting at number three as far as team batting average against left-handed pitching. Slugging percentage, they're number one. OPS, they're number one. WOBA, they're number one. WRC plus, number one. So I think this might be another trouble spot for AJ Puck. And I think I can only look at the Cubs here. We're looking at a Cubs team total in the first five innings to go over. I don't hate that look. And Griffin, you are correct that this will be the first start for Jameson Taillon this season for the Cubs here. So you have a couple pitchers on the Friday card that are making their season debut, and we'll talk about those pitchers here in a minute. But yeah, Cubs here for me. I like the Cubs team total over in this game here as well. Getting over to the next game on the schedule, we'll talk about the other Chicago team. That's going to be the Chicago White Sox. They are in Philadelphia to take on the Phillies. Phillies are sending out Spencer Turnbull, and it will be Garrett Crochet for the Chicago White Sox. Phillies, a -174 home favorite, +146 on the money line for the Chicago White Sox. Total is set at eight in this game here, Griffin. White Sox looks like they're on pace to lose at least 120 games this season, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Crochet looks so good. Unfortunately, you can't win games 0-0, I think. So even if he has a really good afternoon, early evening in Philadelphia and a tough ballpark to pitch in, I don't really know what to do with the White Sox at this point. Kind of feels like they're a little bit cheaper than I was expecting, honestly. But it is, I guess, I think that's really sort of backing their starting pitching and or starting pitcher on Friday and his talent. Spencer Turnbull honestly had so much going for him, but arm injuries kind of derailed his career in Detroit. I still feel like he's got a long and good career ahead of him. So I just don't think there's any reason to get involved with the White Sox at this point until they prove something, especially not at a reduced price here. So it's harder for me to say what to do. Small ballpark in Philadelphia for sure. Turnbull is not perfect by any means, and I think we still have a lot to figure out in the Philadelphia bullpen. Plus, Chicago White Sox are not trying to win, so I think eight feels like a pretty small total. It feels like there's a lot of respect built in this line, and if Garrett Crochet, and if he's not very good, then I think it's going to be very hard for Chicago to be competitive here and for this to stay anywhere near the total.
Yeah, Phillies are around league average against left-handed pitching. Another left-handed pitcher on the mound here for the Chicago White Sox. He's been pretty good as far as strikeouts. I mean, he has 31 strikeouts in the 22 and two-thirds innings that he's pitched thus far this season. The White Sox have lost three of his four starts thus far this season, and he also hasn't gotten the run support. And just frankly, overall, the White Sox haven't been able to score a lot of runs. So I can only look at the Phillies in this spot here against the White Sox. And like you mentioned, this total does feel a little bit on the lower side here. The juice is at -120 on the over. So we may come game time see an 8.5 as money may come in on the over in this game between the White Sox and the Phillies. Next game on the schedule, another pitcher making his season debut. And boy, does this team ever need this guy? The Houston Astros, they are in the nation's capital to take on the Washington Nationals. Justin Verlander getting the start here for the Houston Astros, and Mackenzie Gore gets the start here for the Nationals. Astros are currently a -175 road favorite, +145 on the money line for the Nationals. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here. And Griffin, you and I have talked a lot about the Astros on this podcast and how bad they have been, especially on the pitching side of things, that bullpen. But I mean, this is a former Cy Young winner that the Astros can definitely use at that top of the rotation, especially with the absence of Framber Valdez. But Verlander making his season debut for the Houston Astros here, my friend.
Yeah, Astros, were you saying that they are like Miami on pace to, or like the White Sox on pace to lose 120 games? Is that what you're saying?
No, I
can't remember.
Maybe 90, maybe not as bad as 120. Maybe they're on pace for 90.
And we're both expecting them to turn around, right?
At sooner or later, I think this team will figure it out because they have that, you know, championship pedigree. I think it's just about them, number one, getting healthy in that rotation. And I think that the bullpen, I mean, at some point has to regress to the positive mean, but we'll see, man. It's just been, a very, very rough start for the hometown team.
So this is huge for Houston to get Verlander back. So he's basically the first of many arms. I mean, we'll see what happens with that rest of the rotation. I'm not really sure. Imagine they're going to have to trade for somebody or something like that if they're within the realm of the playoffs, which top seven in each league get in. So that shouldn't be too hard to finish just in the top half. Verlander, who knows? I mean, he's not exactly a spring chicken, which I think is actually beneficial because they'll probably just have him throw because they're not worried about the long-term tenure and health of Justin Verlander. Of course, for the season they are, and they're going to take care of him in that way. But I think that's a good thing for Houston and potentially for the rest of the year for Verlander fantasy owners and things of that nature, is that he's going to go out there and basically use all the bullets he's got, because who knows if this is the last season. My question is, how does he adjust to major league lineups? Because he hasn't really faced many of those coming off injury and then rehabbing. You could argue maybe Washington isn't the strongest, so maybe a good landing spot for him. But I think Houston brought him back as quickly as they could. I don't think they really chose opponents based on that. On the other side, Mackenzie Gore finally delivering on expectations, really, has had an awesome start to the season. It doesn't seem like the opponents have been as difficult as they could have been. I know he had a really good start against Oakland, but big, sizable home underdog here. I mean, I guess maybe Houston is finally getting to their best spot to play, which is away from Minute Maid Park, outside the juice box. I think they are really overpriced here, though. I mean, it's easy to say that based on how they performed so far this season. I think their bullpen is good, better than Washington's, though. Washington, everyone tries to like kill Kyle Finnegan, but he gets outs, whether in the eighth or the ninth innings. I feel like Hunter Harvey's done pretty well. If I'm getting his first name right, I might not be, but there's something there to the Washington Nationals. They're not a great power hitting team by any means. And that's, I think, going to limit them this season. But give me a 1.5-to-1 underdog. I mean, gigantic price to me for how Houston's played and the season debut of Justin Verlander. It might take him a little bit of time to get settled in.
Yeah. As much as I'm excited for the Astros to get Verlander back, I'm sure he'll be on some type of pitch count or maybe an innings count here for the Astros, because again, health, especially at his age and what the Astros really need right now, is the most important. And if you take a look, the Astros in the entire MLB have allowed the second most runs. The only worst team has been the Colorado Rockies. So I couldn't get there right now with the Astros, especially with this first start for Justin Verlander. I want to see how he looks coming out of the gate here. But I think this, again, the Astros are going up against another left-handed pitcher. And like we've talked about with the Chicago Cubs, the Astros are a very good team against left-handed pitching. So, I like my team totals. I think that there's an opportunity for the Astros to get some runs off of Mackenzie Gore. Maybe this in the first five innings or a full game. But I also lean to the over in this game of 8.5 right now. Because, again, we know that bullpen can come in and absolutely just mess it up for the Houston Astros that we've seen all throughout the season thus far. 7:10 Eastern start, we got the Oakland A's. They are taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Joe Boyle gets the start here for the Oakland A's, and Tristan McKenzie getting the start here for the Cleveland Guardians. Guardians are a minus 178 home favorite, plus 150 on the money line for the Oakland A's. Total is set at 8 in this game here, Griffin. These two teams matched up, I believe it was the first series to start the season in Oakland. And we just saw the Cleveland Guardians just put up an insane amount of runs in those first 3 to 4 games there. But now Oakland A's, who've been playing some pretty good baseball, at least exceeding expectations thus far this season to what we were expecting season long as far as their win total went. But shockingly, they are actually 4-2 on the road thus far this season. Do you think they can go in and get some revenge here against the Cleveland Guardians?
I mean, they could. I feel like Oakland's probably been one of the nicest surprises so far to the upside. Boyle has not looked great to me. I know he got a fair amount of fanfare coming into the season, but I feel like control has been a problem for him. You could say the same thing about Tristan McKenzie. Great strikeout numbers forever. Can't stay healthy and walks everyone, it feels. Feels like a pretty big price for Cleveland, but they've quietly or maybe not so quietly started off the year almost as well as anybody could, and certainly way above any sort of expectations. I think the price is too high for me to back Cleveland here, and I'd like to look at Oakland. But their bullpen's been pretty good to start the season, but we'll see if that's something that continues, if they can hold that up, because I'm sure they'll deal any sort of bullpen arm they can toward the deadline or even running up to it. I think I need to see more out of Tristan McKenzie to trust him at this type of price. So I think I lean over if anything, though. Certainly don't love overs with two what seem to be good bullpens at this point. I think Cleveland's got a great one that's going to carry them a lot of the season.
Yeah, Tristan McKenzie for the Guardians, 2 out of 3 starts this season. He's allowed 4 earned runs or more, which was against the Seattle Mariners in his first start, and then against the New York Yankees his last start, where he allowed 5 earned runs. And again, walks have also been a problem for Tristan McKenzie this season. 12 walks in just 13 innings pitched, compared to that's only 5 strikeouts thus far this season for McKenzie. And Joe Boyle, I mean, his last two starts have been actually really good combined. I know hasn't been against the greatest offenses in the Tigers and the Nationals. But 10 innings pitched, 7 hits. He's only allowed 1 earned run in that span. 11 strikeouts to 4 walks. He again, walks are also an issue for Joe Boyle. He's allowed 8 over 12 and 2/3 innings pitched here. So I think the A's could be live here in this game. I mean, I don't want to lay that minus 180 price like you mentioned with the Guardians. I think there may be some value here for the Oakland A's at plus 150 in this game. Let's go back to a 7:06 Eastern start. I'm sorry. The battle of AL East teams here. I'll quickly mention this here. Tampa Bay Rays, they are at Yankee Stadium to take on the Yankees. I am seeing Clark Schmidt is getting the start here for the New York Yankees. And it seems like it's going to be a bullpen day, as we were talking offline about this game for the Tampa Bay Rays here, Griffin. Currently, the lines for this game over on FanDuel, I see minus 156 in favor of the Yankees and plus 132 for the Tampa Bay Rays. Total is set at 9 with juice towards the under here, Griffin. And again, I think we are thinking that this will be a bullpen game for the Tampa Bay Rays. Just we don't know who will be actually starting this game.
It seems like whoever the heck Tampa wants to throw out there for the first three batters, we'll see. After that, it looks like Tyler Alexander, who's not had a great start to the year, but kind of bounced back his most recent outing on Sunday, I believe it was, in a Tampa win against Blake Snell and his return to the Trop. It's hard to, I mean, I have some great memories of backing Tampa like over and over and over again in the Bronx a few years ago, but I feel like this Yankee team, I mean, didn't really hit well in Toronto, but had a great comeback victory. Blown save, you could argue, was more the Jays than it was the Yankees lineup, but finally woke up late, got an important motivational and momentum starting win to close that series before their trip back to the United States. And I feel like that probably helps them here. Clark Schmidt has always had great strikeout numbers as a pitcher I've wanted to back for a while. It's just consistency and then length that he offers have been big problems for him. But on the other side, we got Tampa in a bullpen game, so there's clearly not going to be a lot of length anywhere. And I don't really love the Tyler Alexander matchup. He's kind of an okay throwing left-hander, which I guess fits for the Soto and Rizzo at bats, but is very scary to me. I think the weaker bats in the Yankees lineup are the right-handed ones. Aaron Judge off to a really poor start. Stanton can kill the ball, but for the most of the time, he's killing it into the ground or straight up in the air. So, to me, the Yankees are strong. I feel like they're better than they've been in the past, and I'm a little bit more scared to fade them than I have been. It feels like a big, big price, though. I'm still in a position, like kind of a holding pattern with Tampa until I really figure out who they are. I think they're going to really miss Wander Franco, and I just don't think they're on the same level of team, but they've performed well. Most of the time, they're really good at home. I think the real tell and kind of what separates Tampa from a mediocre team in the AL this year is how they perform on the road. This is going to be a tough spot for them to get a win.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Stanton, he's striking out 31% of his at bats thus far this season. 71 at bats, 22 strikeouts thus far for him. Just batting 180. Sorry, that's Aaron Judge. I'm sorry. Aaron Judge is striking out at that rate right now for the New York Yankees. Again, I do have faith that he will definitely turn around for this Yankees team. You mentioned again, if it is Tyler Alexander that's getting the bulk of the innings here for the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, you mentioned that he's been off to a very rough start. First start against the Blue Jays, 5 earned runs. He gave up 4 against the Colorado Rockies. Had a pretty decent outing against the Giants, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. He gave up 4 strikeouts in each of his three starts this season. And you also take a look at the final scores and the 3 starts that he's made for the Rays. They've all flown over the total. At least 11 combined runs have been scored in all 3 starts when Tyler Alexander is either getting the start or coming in for the bulk of the innings here. So I think it's an opportunity for, I think, both teams to get some runs here. I'm not sure if I really do trust Clark Schmidt because anytime I do, it usually backfires on me. But I do think there's an opportunity where we do see some runs being put up by both of these teams. And again, Clark Schmidt walks are also concerned for him. 8 combined walks over his last 2 starts and just 9 1/3 innings pitch. But again, the Yankees have all won all 3 starts that he has made thus far this season. So I look towards the over in this game between the Rays and the Yankees. Next game on the schedule will go to a 7:20 Eastern start. We got the Texas Rangers. They are headed to Hotlanta to take on the Braves. Andrew Haney gets to start here for the Texas Rangers, and it'll be Chris Sale on the mound here for the Atlanta Braves. Braves are a -205 home favorite, +170 on the money line for the Texas Rangers. Total is set at 9.5 in this game here, Griffin. Two of the better offenses scoring off here in Atlanta. What are you thinking about this game?
I just want to make sure I'm hearing that right. We got a $2 favorite on Chris Sale. Man, I feel like he's on a Red Sox World Series team at this point
We'll be
based on
back in
that price.
2017.
I mean, we're talking many arm surgeries ago. Wow. Phew. I mean, that's a big price. I don't think that Atlanta's really deserved that so far this year. I feel like they've been pretty inconsistent. The Spencer Strider injury doesn't impact when he's not starting, of course, but I think it hurts the team significantly down the line. Maybe that impact hasn't been felt yet. But Andrew Heaney, who basically saved his rotation spot with a pretty good outing on the road at Houston last weekend. Here's another. I mean, what an awful draw to go Houston, stack right-handed hitters, to then go Atlanta, same kind of story. Tough draw. Rare to see Texas, an underdog of this level, of this magnitude, but I've kind of been talking about it, and I've been certainly betting the Tigers, unders, and things of that nature in this past series. And really, I've been betting a lot on Texas because I feel like their lineup's a little bit undervalued against the better teams. And I feel like that's the case here. But against the bad ones, I feel like Texas's road favorites missing their best. I think honestly, Josh Young might be their best hitter in their entire lineup, and he's gone for 10 weeks, it seems. Nathaniel Lowe, they haven't really filled in, and I think that also hurts them defensively. I mean, there's more to that story as well. But since we only have so long in this show, I think Atlanta to me still has to prove it, and this will be a series that they can do that. I think they're better than the Rangers and should probably win this series pretty handily. But I swear, $2 favorites on Chris Sale, who's been good and certainly has some ability to get back to where he once was. Just feels like a really big price for a Texas team that probably hangs in this game. I think I'm probably more interested in seeing a lot of runs, 9.5 in a great hitter's park that they built in Hotlanta. That's probably my biggest interest in this one.
Chris Sale, what day or what year is this? 2024, where we see a $2 favorite for Chris Sale, like you mentioned. I mean, he hasn't been too bad, I would say, thus far this season for this rotation of the Braves. I mean, last start, he did go 7 innings, allowed 5 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, 3 walks in that game against the Marlins. Decent outings against the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Philadelphia Phillies, 5 1/3, allowed 2 earned runs each in those games. You mentioned the lineup for the Texas Rangers. I mean, last year, this was one of the teams that were, I want to say, top 10, top 8 against left-handed pitching. That's tailed off a little bit this season for them. Do I think they're more than capable of turning it around? Absolutely, because they have just uber talent when it comes to that everyday lineup for this Texas Rangers team. So, again, I think that we see runs in this game. I know I've picked a lot of overs thus far, but again, two left-handed pitching starters here, I should say, and two teams that can really mash against left-handed pitching. So I do think we see runs in this game. So I like the over 9.5, and I cannot lay that -205 price with Chris Sale. I don't care if he's turned back the clock or not. I just can't do it at this juncture of his career. So over 9.5 for me here as well. 7:40 Eastern start. The Baltimore Orioles, they are in Kansas City to take on the Royals. It'll be Dean Kramer getting the start here for the Baltimore Orioles, and Alec Marsh gets a start here for the Kansas City Royals. Orioles are a -142 road favorite here, +120 on the money line for the Kansas City Royals. Total is set at 9.5, but choose towards the under at -120 here. Griffin, one of the fun, I think, series this weekend between these two teams that have so much young talent. So I'm definitely going to be having my eyes glued to this one this weekend. Orioles and Royals here. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, I don't have a huge book on Alec Marsh at this point, but I think Baltimore's still got, they're trying to figure out where to put that young talent and try to how to work it in and make it perform at its best. Doesn't look like a 107 win team to me, especially with a really strong division, I think, again in the AL East this year. I think Kansas City's probably, other than the Guardians, maybe the biggest surprise team so far out there, at least in the AL for that. And you could probably say the AL Central to say that. Pretty. I'm going far out on a limb saying that. I think Dean Kramer is going to fit really well in this park. To me, it's similar to Baltimore, very hard hit home runs, and I think that's important for him because he's sometimes living on borrowed time with giving up a lot of hard contact or just living by contact, which is a scary thing in this world in the year of our Lord 2024. I think Kansas City hangs in this series, makes this more competitive than this line certainly suggests. I feel like there's some value on the home underdog here. So I'm interested in that. Also like under 9 or 9.5, because I feel like there's a good chance this is a pretty tight series with kind of emerging bullpens. I think Kansas City's is weaker, but has looked better this year.
Yeah, these two pitchers actually faced the opposition earlier this season. I believe it was the first series of the year. Alec Marsh had a really good outing against the Orioles in that game. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run. Incredible start there. Did have 5 strikeouts, only 1 walk. Has gotten mashed a little bit over his last two outings. He gave up 4 earned runs to the Mets in just 5 innings. Luckily, the offense was able to carry the Royals in that game. And against the White Sox, he did allow 3 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings pitched, only off of 8 hits, I should say. And he's only given up 1 home run thus far this season, which was on the road at Citi Field. And I mean, you mentioned with Dean Kramer that going into a ballpark where it's a spot here where he's a fly ball pitcher and needs to keep the ball inside the park, I think it's a good opportunity here for him as well. He did face them back on April 1st, 5 1/3 inning at home at Camden Yards. He allowed 3 earned runs. And talking about home runs, the 3 hits that he did give up, 2 of them were home runs. So I think there's an opportunity for him to bounce back here against the Royals. I do like a plus price here for the Kansas City Royals. I think Alec Marsh can go along and have another solid outing here. I love the value here on the home underdog, +120. And I will lean with you with the under 9.5. I feel like this would be more at 8.5. Between these two squads here and these two pitchers. So under and again with you on the Kansas City Royals at plus money. Getting over to the next game, 8:10 Eastern start. We've got a battle of AL Central teams, the Detroit Tigers. They are in Minnesota to take on the Twins. Jack Flaherty gets a start here for the Detroit Tigers, and it'll be Joe Ryan for the Minnesota Twins. Twins are a -148 home favorite, +124 on the money line for the Detroit Tigers. Total is set at 7.5 in this game here, Griffin. I want to say these two teams just matched up, and because I feel
They
like I
did.
just watched Joe Ryan absolutely just strike out every single batter that he faced against the Tigers in his last start, which was actually back on last Saturday. But what do you think about this matchup between Jack Flaherty and Joe Ryan?
So you did just watch it. I was
Okay.
watching the Minnesota at Detroit game on Friday night, I believe. I think that was my best bet winner of last week's episode. And they'd mentioned the Tigers broadcast that they were pretty much terrified of matching up with Joe Ryan because he's had really good success against Detroit. Certainly seemed to do that. When you were watching on Saturday, I wouldn't expect that to change too much. Jack Flaherty had a great opening start to his Detroit career. I feel like it's not been as perfect since then, but he's still solid. A couple of years removed from a big sh shoulder injury, maybe he gets back to his form from his St. Louis days. With that said, I feel like this total is too high. 7.5 at DraftKings. Look, it's 8 across the board, very juiced under in other places. So shop around, always recommend that. Of course, if you need some alternatives for wherever you place your bets, if you need that, please feel free to slide in our DMs at the real underscore G Warner at SportsNerd824. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And I feel like if anyone needs some guidance there, we can certainly help out. But I think shopping around's a huge deal in this sport amongst all the others because there's huge juice in baseball, and you can find some lower juice books if you're able to do offshore stuff and things of that nature. I feel like the local books, state by state, might be a little bit more challenging. But to me, it feels like Detroit can't hit. They score, I think, the highest percentage of their runs in the eighth inning or later. Of any team in baseball, I saw today on their broadcast, and I've been watching a ton of Detroit games, and that's exactly what happens. They basically hibernate, as you might do in the wintertime in Detroit. But the late inning runs, I feel like that's going to slow down even against the Minnesota bullpen that's still trying to figure out who the heck's going to do what until Juan Duran comes back. Jiraian's good history. I'm going under 7.5 or 8 here. I think the 8 push would be really important to me.
Yeah, I like the undercall there. I would be on the twin side here as well. Like you mentioned, Joe Ryan historically has been really good against this Tigers team, and Tigers right now against right-handed pitching are striking out at a rate of, I believe it was 25.2%, which is the eighth most against right-handed pitching. And historically, Joe Ryan has had over his last six starts, at least seven strikeouts against this Tigers team, dating back to the 2022 season. He's had at least nine strikeouts in four of the last five, sorry, four of the last six starts against his Tigers team. So I wouldn't be opposed to going right back to Joe Ryan's strikeout plus in this game. And I will be on the Minnesota Twins in this game on the money line.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, here's something that is not discussed as much as it should be. We all have a social battery, right? Now, what's a battery? A battery stores energy. It has a lot of energy, or it doesn't. It's drained. I can be on, I can be engaged, I can have fun. But when I'm done, I'm drained. Driving home, I don't want to hear much talking. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? What's the best way to do that? Therapy through BetterHelp can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking therapy could help you, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. There's a brief questionnaire that helps match you to a licensed therapist. And remember, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/RJ to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/RJ.
Griffin, a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. We have two different sports that are kicking off their playoffs in the NBA, the NHL, MLB. MLB's in full swing. We have the NFL draft next week as well. So a lot of great things happening right now over on pregame.com. But what can our listeners take advantage of right now over there on the website?
Use the promo code WALK20, WALK, do not run, 20% off for all listeners of this Major League Baseball podcast. You can get MLB through the World Series, MLB through the All-Star break, discounted subscriptions using that promo code WALK20. Good for 20% off, good for 7 days from the podcast release. So you got to the 26th of April, but why wait? Season's just starting. Get in now till the All-Star break or throughout the entire season. Get as many days as possible, 20% off. You can grab, ride me the rest of the year, profited 18.3 units last year, off to a little bit of a slower start this season, but I'm certainly shooting for that and to beat that number, and we'll certainly try to get back on the right side of things. And of course, I think more podcasts with my guy Munaf, we will be both heading in the correct direction towards the end of this season. So jump in there, throw in the promo code WALK20, and we get some credit and we get the ability to keep doing this podcast for all of you to listen, get some free picks out of us, and see us our record climb even higher than I think the current, is it 7-5 that we're currently sitting right now so far year to date?
7-5 on our best
bets. Mainly taking low juice, and so we're definitely profitable at this point and only plan to do better than that later down the line. So use the promo code WALK20, save 20% and get a little bit of credit for your guys, Munaf and Griffin.
There we go. Make sure you guys go to pregame.com. Make sure you use that promo code WALK20. Take advantage of anything there on pregame.com. All right, Griffin, let's get over to the next game on the schedule. We'll go to a 8:15 Eastern start. NL Central teams here, the Milwaukee Brewers, they are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. Freddy Peralta getting the start here for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Kyle Gibson gets the start here for the St. Louis Cardinals. Brewers are a -130 road favorite here, +110 on the money line for the St. Louis Cardinals. Total is set at 8 in this game here, Griffin. Two pitchers maybe going in opposite directions here, but the Brewers have been a very, very pleasant surprise to start the season thus far.
Yeah, I feel like Milwaukee had a kind of a tough series with San Diego coming in this week. Had a big lead the first game that I had my 3-0 lead with best bet. Honestly, about the best start I could have possibly asked for. And then partly defense, partly Joe Ross, I think, kind of struggling to miss bats, just couldn't strike people out. And unfortunately, when you allow the ball to be put in play, that is a problem. The nice part here is that is not a Milwaukee problem, because Freddy Peralta, I know you have a strikeout prop for him to lead the entire league. And with the rest of these starting pitchers dropping like flies, come on, Freddy, let's get as many Ks as possible. I think he's... if he's going to be a road favorite in all the, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've backed him as a road underdog on the road at St. Louis. And I feel like if those days are gone, damn, I'm going to be missing out on a lot of bets, because I'm really not interested in the home underdog here. Kyle Gibson has great starts in him, of course, but they're usually very hard to predict because he is, let's see how much or how far my pitches move, because he's trying to just get weak contact, has some big strikeout nights, which seem rare but occur occasionally, whereas Freddy Peralta is going to be missing bats all night. Milwaukee bullpen's a little bit in flux. I think saw Abner Uribe, who is supposedly a possibility as taking over closer role while Devin Williams was out. I saw him come in the fourth inning to relieve Wade Miley after he got hit with a line drive, so who knows what's going on back there. I trust the Milwaukee organization, they're pretty good with bullpens, but with all that said, I feel like I'm probably not necessarily believing Milwaukee's going to keep hitting like this, especially with looks like Christian Yelich has been hurt for a while, missed at least two games of that series. So give me under 8. I think that's backing both these starting pitchers to not blow up, which is certainly a concern. But I think we have a really good strikeout pitcher on the road team, and we have a pitcher at home who probably should perform better in his home ballpark, though it's certainly a new spot for Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, his one start at home this season for Kyle Gibson in St. Louis was against the Marlins. Six innings, he allowed 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 2 home runs in that game against the Marlins.
Not great.
Not at all, especially against a Marlins team who hasn't been very good thus far this season. He's allowed 11 earned runs in the last two starts combined with over 12 innings pitched there. So, I feel like this number is a little short for Freddy Peralta. I know historically he's had some trouble with the Cardinals. But again, the strikeout numbers are going to be there for Freddy Peralta. So I'm comfortable laying this -130 price with the Brewers here. You get all 9 at-bats with the road team. And I think that, again, I definitely have the better pitcher of the two here, especially with how the struggles have been with Kyle Gibson over his last two starts here. So I'll go with the Brewers here at -130 on the money line. Getting over to, let's go to the second game of the doubleheader between the Cubbies and the Marlins here. And obviously, like we mentioned earlier in the episode, that the game on Thursday night got postponed. So they'll play a doubleheader here on Friday. The second game I am seeing is I see Imagina is going to start here for the Cubbies and then for the Marlins. Do you have a
Jesus
pitcher?
Lizardo.
Yeah, there you go. Jesus Lizardo is going to start there. Griffin, I knew you were mentioning some lines there. Consensus. It was pretty similar to what we saw, what was going to be the lines on Thursday night. But here on Friday, we're seeing about, what, minus 166?
Yeah, minus 166, Imanaga at home. No total yet because I think they're waiting for weather, wind direction, I think it's mainly. Lizardo plus 140 at DraftKings. So I think Imanaga is still a little bit beyond my peripherals at this point, really understanding what he'll be. I think I'm more used to Jesus Lizardo, who is a huge prospect in Oakland, broke his hand, I think, after he lost a Fortnite video game or something like that. And I don't know if that was the straw that broke the camel's back, but the Oakland organization were pretty much fed up with him, shipped him to Miami. He's great lefty, got a great arm, throws very high velocity. And really, most Miami pitchers, they have a great changeup. So that works. They've been turning around, I think, slower than maybe high expectations, but that's kind of what happens with young pitchers. So he's been delivering. I feel like the big question here is, can you trust the Miami lineup? And I don't know that we can, facing a lefty, which I know they started the year really, really struggling against lefties in general. I think I'll be looking out for a total here and potentially go under, of course, pending wind direction, pending what total we get, pending a lot of things. But I think there's a good chance that Imanaga throws well and Lizardo keeps a relatively hot Chicago Cubs lineup relatively quiet, because I'm not, I feel like a lot of their wins haven't been these big giant scoring performances. It's been really great pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Imanaga has been absolutely fantastic in his three starts. He hasn't allowed an earned run yet over the 15 to one third inning pitch that he's been out there for the Chicago Cubs. 16 strikeouts to only two walks, and it's been the opposite story for Jesus Lizardo just over his last two starts. And again, he's faced the New York Yankees. He faced the Atlanta Braves there. 12 earned runs given up in 9 2/3 innings pitch, 6 walks, 8 strikeouts only, 3 home runs he's given up. Also has some trouble with the Angels, right? In a 5 1/3 inning, he allowed 3 earned runs, 4 hits. 2 of those 4 hits were home runs that he gave up to the Angels. He's allowed 5 home runs thus far this season, and the walks are also a concern for Jesus Lizardo here. And again, talked about teams that have been doing really well against left-handed pitching. Chicago Cubs are right there in top 3 as far as offensive categories go, whether it's team batting average, whether it's WRC plus, slugging percentage, expected WOBA. So I think that the Cubs can go along well here against this Marlins team. If there was a run line available, I would definitely be on the Cubs here. I think that they could win this game, you know, something in the realm of like a 5-2, 5-1 type of victory. I think that, again, Imanaga can continue his dominance against this Marlins lineup. Next game on the schedule here, Griffin, will go to an 8:40 Eastern start. We got the Seattle Mariners. They are in Coors Field in altitude to take on the Colorado Rockies. Emerson Hancock gets a start here for the Seattle Mariners, and it'll be Dakota Hudson for the Colorado Rockies. Mariners, a minus 130 road favorite here, plus 110 on the money line for the Colorado Rockies. Total is set at 11 in this game here, Griffin. What do you think about the Mariners and the Rockies here?
I think this total is reflecting the weather. Looks like 50 degree highs on Friday, 33 degrees at night. I wonder if they even get this game in, but I think that's what it's going to take for Colorado totals to be at 11 with some questionable starting pitchers. But at this point in the year, I feel like the Rockies, the Coors Field overs have not been delivering. Don't worry, those will come as soon as it starts to heat up. 83 degrees, I think, is all we're looking for. So we don't even need it to be that hot in the high in the Rockies. So until then, I mean, Emerson Hancock has not been impressive to me. Big prospect relatively for Seattle, but most of those are already in the majors, so there's only so many left. I don't really want much to do with Colorado. Certainly at home, they're more likely to hit. Chris Bryant's not in the lineup on the IL again. What a signing that was. Not sure what their ownership's doing in general on 18th and Blake, but trying their best, or just trying to get the luxury tax to pay their bills, maybe. I don't really know where to go with this one. I like the home dog, I guess, but that means I'm backing the Rockies. Yikes. I don't think this game gets played. We can see if it does. If it does, it's hard to play unders in Coors Field, so I don't think that's even an option for me. So give me Dakota Hudson, and he's gonna just sinker ball the Mariners, who don't really hit the ball well. But I feel like if there's any pitch that they can hit, it's a sinker. I don't know. I'm just twisting myself in a pretzel right now.
I think that, I mentioned earlier this season that there's going to be spots to back the Rockies at home. And I think when people see, or the public sees that, oh, the Mariners are only a -130 price here against a Colorado Rockies team that hasn't been very good. Let me add that to like a straight bet or a money line parlay bet. But you mentioned, right, I haven't been impressed with the Seattle Mariners team, and they've had a lot of hype coming into the season thus far, and I haven't been overly impressed with Emerson Hancock either. So I think it's a good spot here for the Rockies at home, +110 on the money line. I'm gonna pinch my nose and take the Rockies here on the money line, +110 against the Seattle Mariners. 9:40 Eastern start. We got the Toronto Blue Jays. They are in San Diego to take on the Padres. Yariel Rodriguez gets a start here for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Matt Waldron gets a start here for the Padres. Padres are a -115 home favorite. -105 on the money line for the Toronto Blue Jays. Total is set at 8.5 in this game here. Griffin, Blue Jays versus the Padres to kick off the West Coast swing.
Yeah, long trip from Toronto, especially even made even longer if their bullpen blew what would have been a sweep at home against the Yankees on Wednesday. I think that probably adds some motivation. Yadier Rodriguez, Cuban, I believe. Not sure exactly about his viability at the major league level, but I've not been impressed by Matt Waldron. I think he came up as like one of his pitch selections or options is the knuckleball, which rest in peace, Tim Wakefield. We haven't seen in a long time. Never really good if that's what you're relying upon at this level of baseball. He's had a couple, I think, okay starts so far this year. So maybe he's been finding his footing at the Major League Baseball level. I don't really believe in him. San Diego's not really my cup of tea either. I feel like this is a worse team that's still, I mean, we see a pretty small favorite here. So this is pretty much saying that the Blue Jays are a better team on a neutral, but certainly things change. It's nothing is neutral in Major League Baseball. I guess maybe if you play in Korea, but that's long gone. San Diego did that. I feel like Toronto's the side I want here. As a slight road underdog, it takes a lot to really trust a rookie that hasn't really, to me, had a ton of fanfare in Rodriguez. But I think Toronto, one nice thing, while they did blow the game on Wednesday, they got both Eric Swanson, who blew the save Wednesday, but also got Jordan Romano back. And Jimmy Garcia has been awesome for them as well. Doesn't deserve to lose his closer role, but did. I think his ERA is like 0.43 at this point in the season. So there's a lot to like in that Toronto bullpen behind Rodriguez. So give me the Jays. And I guess I lean under a little bit, though that is a little bit more supportive of Matt Waldron than I think I want to be.
Yeah, I mean, you really just took the words out of my mouth. Can you really trust Matt Waldron here? I mean, the starts that he's made, he's been pretty good. I mean, he's only allowed two earned or one earned run, I should say, over his last two starts, which was against the Giants and the Dodgers. So he just hasn't gotten the run support. The Padres have given or scored exactly two runs in his three starts this season, and they've lost all three starts that Matt Waldron has made for this Padres team. And I think that now this Blue Jays team, maybe they're starting to find their groove here a little bit. Maybe the bats are starting to get going here a little bit as well. And like you mentioned, the bullpen has been absolutely fantastic for this Blue Jays team. So I think that's maybe that can something they can carry over into their games here on the West Coast here. So I don't want to be on Matt Waldron here. They have the better or the hotter team at least coming in the Toronto Blue Jays here. So I lean with the Blue Jays here as well. Currently -105 on the money line. 10:10 Eastern start. The New York Mets, they are in LA to take on the Dodgers. It'll be Sean Manaea on the mound here for the New York Mets, and it'll be Yamamoto on the mound here for the Dodgers. Dodgers, a $2 favorite here, -205, +170 on the money line for the New York Mets. Total is set at 8.5 with in this game. with juice towards the under at minus 118. Mets seem like they're starting to get cooking here. Griffin, what do you think about this matchup between the Mets and the Dodgers?
Well, this will be a test. We'll see if they're actually cooking, because Sean Manaea started cooking to start the season and then got hit pretty hard his last start, if I'm not mistaken. He's pretty well known by the Dodgers as well. Always been a good lefty that just hasn't been able to miss bats. Was doing that to start the season, but we'll see if he continues. I feel like the leopard, the cheetah is showing its spots maybe here. Yamamoto responded to a really poor start in Korea. And I feel like the Dodgers are not off to a good start, but they will eventually reclaim their abilities, or at least their dominance at some point. I think one underrated thing about this game potentially is there are going to be a lot of Mets fans in the crowd, because for some reason, seemingly, there's a huge fan base out in LA. I think that matters when the Mets come into town, because while they're certainly not batting last, it does make the crowd a little bit more, instead of worried about selfies and the loud DJ in between home runs, outs, every sort of thing possible, because I guess Tinseltown, LA, you're trying to get as much entertainment as possible out of your dime. I think my biggest interest is over 8.5 here. Feels like a bit of a big total, Yamamoto starting, but I think the Mets can get to him. And I think Manaea is kind of tiptoeing. And I feel like there's a good chance that he's walking on eggshells and those eggshells burst.
Yeah. Sean Manaea is definitely familiar with this Dodgers team, obviously. You know, when he was with his time with the Padres and also with the Giants over the last two seasons. There was two starts back in 2022 where he absolutely got shelled. But after that, he's had four other starts when he's with the Padres and when he's with the Giants that have been actually pretty good. So very familiar with this Dodgers team. I've seen this Dodger, and we saw in this last series against the Nationals where the Nationals took two out of the three against this Dodgers team. So I think there's going to be opportunities for opposing teams coming into Dodger Stadium to get a couple of victories. And then we know, like I mentioned it, right, you're going to pay that tax when you have that name of the Dodgers on the front of your jersey. I think this game is a prime example of that. I'm actually going to lean here with the Mets, man. Plus 170, I think they can go in there, steal the game one here. Do like a call about the over in this game. I think that they'll probably keep it going here, you know, against the Dodgers. So again, don't be surprised if we see the Mets steal the game one here with Sean Manaea going up against Yamamoto plus 170. I think there's definitely some value there with the New York Mets. Last game on the schedule is going to be a 10:15 Eastern start. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they are headed to the Bay Area to take on the Giants. Jordan Montgomery making a season debut for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And we got Blake Snell on the mound here for the San Francisco Giants. Giants a minus 135 home favorite here, plus 114 on the money line for the Diamondbacks. Total is set at 8 in this game here, Griffin. Jordan Montgomery making his first start for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, big questions about how much or how deep Jordan Montgomery will go in this game. I feel like signing late, Blake Snell style, so it's the battle of the Scott Boras clients, which should be fairly interesting. I'm interested in the Arizona side because Blake Snell just hasn't looked good to start the season. Was a favorite at Tampa on Sunday, but pretty much late bets, I think, closed about pick'em or so. And there's a lot to question about Blake Snell going to a new environment. Seems to be a very emotional starting pitcher, needs the crowd support, because I saw an interview with him where he like mentioned how in San Diego there's a lot more hecklers, and I was like, in the drop, maybe because there are actually people that go to those games. But I think the only way I can look is on the Jordan Montgomery side. Though it probably will mean a lot of Arizona bullpen, which I don't feel great about. San Francisco is pretty good at stealing wins late. I feel like that's one of those kind of unwritten rules for me in betting San Francisco Giants games, is you got to feel really good about the opposing bullpen, because San Francisco in a 2-2 game late, they're winning at home. Whether it's the sixth inning, the ninth inning, it doesn't seem to matter. I feel like you need to kill them dead. And I don't know that I feel that good about Arizona here. So I think if you're looking to potentially back Arizona, you might want to take a first five, just because I think that's the best way to fade Blake Snell, get your piece of Jordan Montgomery, who's been just very, very competitive throughout his Major League Baseball career, really ever since he left the Bronx.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Snell has been off to an atrocious start so far for the Giants, and more so over his last start, which was against the Rays in Tampa, coincidentally against his former team. 4 innings in that game, he allowed 7 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 home runs he gave up, and walks continue to be a thing for Blake Snell. He's allowed 2 walks in each of his first 2 starts against the Nationals and the Tampa Bay Rays. I think you're 100% correct. If you want to take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks in those first 5 innings in this game behind Montgomery, and we talked a lot about on this episode teams against left-handed pitching, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are right up there against left-handed pitching thus far this season. We'll take a look at their team batting average. They are number one against left-handed pitching, 307, slugging it at 472. That's the second best. Second best OPS, WOBA, they're also number two, and then WRC plus, they are number five. So they've been dominant against left-handed pitching here. So I like the Arizona Diamondback side. I'll take them full game here. Look at them in the first 5 innings as well. If you look at their team totals to go over in this game as well, I don't hate that. You get all 9 at-bats, obviously, with a road team here. So I think it's Arizona Diamondbacks in every which way here for me against Blake Snell. That is the last game on the schedule that we do have official lines for. Griffin, let's get into our best bets here for the Friday night card here. Got to make it up to do after coming off of a rough 0-2 where we had a 3-0 lead in both of our games. But I feel like we will be back on the right side of things here and getting back to the winning side into the window here. But what are you going with your best bet for the Friday night card?
Yeah, the pregame.com Major League Baseball podcast, 7-5, 58.333333% start the year. Not too shabby. I will hope to, especially because I think we're pretty much taking very short spreads or underdogs a lot of the time is my MO. So I hope we'll be right around that number end of season, but certainly want to keep winning in the meantime. I'm going to go with the under in the Baltimore and Kansas City matchup. I actually was just on my own podcast, my baseball betting the pitch podcast with one of my good friends. He took the Tigers on Wednesday. I took the under 7.5 for the game, though actually in my real life played under first half because I basically have decided to quit full game unders, but I forgot about that while I was recording. And unfortunately, it goes under for the first five, goes over for the full game. Rangers blow a lead late and then end up winning anyway. So my buddy gets his win. I get a loss. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. Instead, I'm going to go first five under here. Should be available about 4.5, especially looking at a 9.5 available right now. Might even get a push on five, which would be very valuable. Looks like a very cold night in Kansas City. Dean Kramer, I think, will survive and actually benefit that from that a lot. Same sort of thing with Alec Marsh as well. Powerful lineups potentially will struggle also in a very big park in Kansas City. So don't expect a lot of runs in that one. Go under 4.5 or under five if you can find a reasonably juiced ability to push on five first inning runs.
Yeah, I think you'd definitely be able to find a five out there, especially with a total of 9.5 in this game. So again, definitely shop around for the best number. But I definitely do think there will be a five out there for the first 5 innings between these two teams. All right, for my best bet here, I'm gonna go down to Atlanta. I'm gonna take the over in this game between the Rangers and the Atlanta Braves. We have two left-handed pitchers. I think the Rangers offense, may have found something over the early week series against the Tigers. And again, we mentioned how Chris Sale, he's looked okay thus far this season. Hasn't really faced the greatest opposition. But when you have these two type of offenses, again, especially in Atlanta, where it's a very hitter friendly ballpark to say the least, I think these two teams can eclipse 10 runs in this game combined here. So, we talked about Andrew Haney. He's gone up against the Astros twice. We've really had his number. Now you get to go up against the Atlanta Braves, who are really good against left-handed pitching as well. And we know the Rangers offense can break out at any moment, underperforming a little bit thus far this season, but I'm definitely confident that they can turn it around here, especially against Chris Sale. So I'll take the over 9.5 as my best bet between the Rangers and the Braves, with Andrew Haney on the mound and Chris Sale for the Atlanta Braves. All right, Griffin, that is going to do it, my friend, for this edition of the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Anything else you want to mention before we go our separate ways?
Yeah, make sure you use that promo code WALK20. Don't walk, run to use WALK20. Save yourself 20%. Big long term, or even just for this weekend, if you want to try anybody at Pregame Out, including yours truly, Griffin Warner, if you want to, go ahead, go try it. And the more you use that promo code, the more we keep doing these podcasts, covering the entire card for all of you and for our benefits as well. Because I know talking through each game with my guy Munaf is perfect for really learning more about what we're planning to do for the next day, gets us prepared, gets you prepared. And the whole goal is to make our, I guess our nest egg grow is the plan. It's hard to know if anyone has families and stuff out there. Maybe pay for some child's education at some point, because we know that's not getting cheaper.
Definitely not. And I'm surprised that we have gone this far and Griffiths hasn't mentioned that to ask our listeners if they did in fact pay their taxes back on Monday. So
do your taxes. Oh, you're probably late.
Unless you filed that extension, but hopefully you did pay your taxes over this last Monday, I should say. But yeah, it's been great thus far. Hopefully we get back to the winning side of things here for the Friday night card. But I feel like I'm very confident in our picks here for the Friday games. We'll be back as usual on Sunday evening. We'll take a look at the Monday games and get the new week of betting started for the MLB. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and we'll talk to you guys down the road.